Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and amen. One amen for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. New Beginning is not just for the young. We are New Beginners Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. to share with you the Word of God, to plant a seed deep down in your spirit, man, that you may take the word of God, eat it up, digest it, and live it out to the glory and honor of the Most High God. I am Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles, and I will be hosting this evening of the broadcast of the New Beginnings Ministry. Elder Dr. John Clay and Elder Dr. Suzanne Clay are actually on assignment this week, but they will be back next week for our broadcast. For all of our first-time listeners who are listening by way of internet, we are an interactive Bible study. And you may ask, what is an interactive Bible study? What we do here is, at the appointed time when the speaker of the hour allows us, we open up all mics and allow you to actually speak directly to the one who's breaking bread to us at the hour. Also, we're asking you right now to leave all of your devices on mute, because we're actually leaving all mics open. We're trying a new technology with our new sound technician. So please place your devices on mute, and when you're ready to speak, all you have to do is press the mute button on your device, and you can speak directly to the speaker of the hour, ask any questions, make any statements toward that which is being said. Now, for those of you who are on the recording devices, what you could actually do is you can call in if you desire to speak to the speaker of the hour. The telephone number is 347-237-4054. You can actually call in on 347-237-4054. And for those of you who are actually on the Zoom platform, we ask that since you're on the Zoom platform, that what you would do is mute your mics and give us a call in on the call-in line by way of telephone if you can, 347-237-4054, which you could hear any feedback that will minimize that. You don't have to worry about a password, because it is password has been lifted. And before I forget, we also have this message that is being recorded, plus any other message that we have had in our archives. So if something that's being said that you should happen to miss that you can't write down, or about 10 to 15 minutes after the broadcast, it will be out here for you to research yourself. Well, how do you listen to it again? You open up a browser and you go to a new Blog Talk Radio, put in We Can Begin Again or New Beginners Ministries, click that link and it will take you to the archives. So you can listen to one of well over 300 messages that we have here in the archives, so that you could just pick up the telephone and tell a friend about New Beginners Ministry and how the word is going forth here. On tonight, I am very excited about the speaker that we have, L.D. Yvette Beasley, strong woman of faith, coming to us out of Chicago, Illinois. And what we're going to do is we're going to have prayer. And after prayer, the next voice you will hear will be that of Elder Yvette Beasley out of Chicago, Illinois. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thanking you for life, health, and strength, Lord, and thank you for what this day actually had to bring. And Lord, we're asking you right now to cover the one who's going to stand in the gap and declare the word. Lord, we're asking right now that you speak to her and speak through her, that she may plant the seed deep down, which is in good ground. We're asking, claiming, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Elder Yvette Beasley, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you so much for the prayer, and I want to thank God for Dr. Clay for this opportunity to come and speak on their platform. I count it a privilege and an honor, and I'm humbled by the opportunity to share what God has placed in me to deliver on tonight. I want to first give God the glory for my house and where I am covered. I am a member of Jesus is the Way Christian Center, Our central campus is located in DeKalb, Illinois, and I am the South Campus pastor. And we are under the leadership of Apostle Dr. Corey D. Butler. And I'm just thankful to God for what he is doing in our lives. God is still almighty, all-powerful, and everywhere present. He is an on-time God, and he is yet in the midst of us tonight. So I'm praying that God get the glory out of the word that is going to be shared on tonight, that somebody is encouraged. If it's one soul that is encouraged, then I consider my job being done. Amen. So tonight we're going to be talking about the impossible is possible by faith. And on last Sunday, we celebrated our apostle's birthday, and he is a Trekkie. And so there was a statement that one of the captains with Star Trek had said, and that's what birthed this message on tonight. And the thing that it was Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and he said that things are only impossible until they're not. And at this point in time, just to give you a little transparency on why this session came up, Captain Picard was faced with an impossibility. See, the children that were aboard the USS Enterprise had been captured, stolen, taken by a race that was plagued with infertility. They didn't have an ability to produce children of their own. And Captain Picard was determined. He was fixated. He was obsessed with rescuing the children and returning them home. But there was this planetary shield that was covering the planet where the children were, and they could not penetrate through this shield. So when Captain Picard said, we must go on this rescue mission and retrieve our children, Lieutenant Commander Data said, yeah, we can do that, but kind of impossible to penetrate that barrier. And here comes those famous words of Captain Picard. Things are only impossible until they're not. So I was thinking about that, and that's a thing that happened on Star Trek. But what are some of the impossibilities that we face, situations that seem impossible that we face, that we're facing even right now? And what are some times when life is lifing, and it's lifing hard? It seems like everything is coming at you and the kitchen sink. It's like one blow after another, one circumstance after another, and they keep coming till you feel yourself backed up in the corner, and all you can do is put your hands up to kind of minimize the blows, but they keep coming. Maybe you're faced with some financial crisis right now. Maybe your rent is past due, and you just got served a five-day notice. Maybe you've been terminated or laid off from your job, and your car that you need to be able to use to go find gainful employment somewhere else is on its last leg. Black smoke, white smoke is coming out of from under the hood, and you don't know what is going on, but you're trying to make it. Or maybe you hide in your car from the repo man. God only knows what the situation may be. Maybe you received some bad news from a doctor, and the treatment course is too expensive, and it's also going to require you to take some time off from work that you just cannot afford. Your tests and trials, they just keep coming. It seems like we are in a scene from Mission Impossible, and I am not Tom Cruise. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this, and I just can't. Every time I think about it, I get a headache. I can't eat. I can't sleep. It's in my dreams. It's when I wake up, it's the first thing I think about. Your faith is being tested, or maybe even stretched like never before. You're trying to be strong. You want to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're quoting scriptures because that's supposed to encourage you, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You put a smile on your face, and you're saying all the right things. You're present at church. You're paying your tithes. You're doing everything that you think you can do to ease this load, but you're still faced with those things. And all you keep telling yourself is, it is well. I'm going to just keep holding on. I'm trusting in the Lord, and he'll make it all right. God got me. But in the inside, you got worry. Come on, somebody, if you be transparent. On the inside, you're fighting down doubt. You're trying to bring all those thoughts under the subjection of Jesus Christ, but it's continuous. They don't stop. They keep going. If you ever been backed up and your back is against the wall and the circumstances and the situations that you're facing, and you smack dab in the middle of it and you don't know how you're going to overcome, let me remind you of the words of Jesus Christ. What he told to his disciples, he said to them, because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the grain the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. That's Matthew, the 17th chapter and the 20th verse. Just like the words of Captain Picard, things are only impossible until they're not. There is a position that you must take when you face opposition. A defeat cannot be your posture in which you face obstacles. You can't look at the situation and be like, man, I don't know, because that enters in defeat. What you have to do is take a firm setting, a firm gripping, and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's got me, that I can make it through this. There are several things that I want to look at that took place in this 17th chapter of Matthew, because my targeted scripture, as I stated before, was Matthew 17 and 20. But there are some things that I want to set the scene so you will understand why Jesus said these words. See, just a week before, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the Mountain of Transfiguration. We don't know if that's the actual name of the mountain, but that's what it has been suggested. This is where a transformation took place. They climbed up this high mountain, which suggests that this is a location that's not easily to get to. They had to have some determination to get to this point of transformation. And here Jesus was transfigured. That means that he transformed. It was not just an outer appearance, but it was an inner appearance as well. Jesus became so bright that it was difficult to look at him. Just like looking at the sun, you can't look at the sun for too long. Sometimes when it's in certain positions, you can't even look at the sun. But here, Jesus was transformed. He revealed his glory, and this is in the first part of this 17th chapter. Jesus didn't just change in body, but he revealed his glory. His face and his clothes were glorified. They shared in this glory, and the Father allowed them to see this because he said further that he shared his glory. For in John 17 and 24, the Father said, I desire that they also, whom you give me, may be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. This is what Jesus was saying to his Father, that I want my disciples to share in my glory. So this is what happened in the 17th chapter up in the first verses. And then in verse 5, it shows that Peter got a little selfish, and Peter said, oh, this is good that we're here. It's good that the three of us, Peter, James, and John, are here. Not thinking about the other nine, but it's good that we're here. So while we're here, let's make a place for you. I'm going to make a place for Jesus. We're going to make a place for Moses, and we're going to make a place for Elijah. You read that chapter yourself, but these three revealed themselves unto Jesus, and they started having a conversation. In God's glory, his Shekinah, where the cloud came in, God's cloud came down and said that, no, Peter, he cut Peter off in the midst of his statement. While he was saying we should make a place for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, the glory came, and God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. God interrupted Peter so that all would know that Jesus was the one. Jesus is the beloved son.
Jesus is the reason why you are here. Not for you. It's not good for you. It's good for all because Jesus is here. So as we get further down in this 17th chapter, we see where Jesus had to cast out this demon from this difficult boy. So while Peter, James, and John and Jesus was on the Mountain of Transfiguration, there was a man that brought his son to the other disciples. Now, further ahead in the past, Jesus had given the disciples power over unclean spirits. So the disciples had been going around delivering people from these unclean spirits. But now the group has broken up. Three of them are going up on the mountain with Jesus, and nine remain. So this man brought his son to the nine, and his son had a lot of issues. The Bible says you can find the same story in Mark, in Luke, and in John. In Mark 9, 14 through 29, it tells us that this boy was deaf, he was dumb, he was an epileptic, he had seizures, fell out, he would fall into the water, he would fall into the fire. In Mark, it called him a lunatic. They said that he was moonstruck. That meant that he was a lunatic, that he was not in his right mind. This boy was perplexed by demons. It was a high-powered demon, and this boy had more issues than whatever they'd seen in the past, and the disciples could not cure him. They could not cure him. They had victories in the past of delivering people from unclean spirits, but this one, the enemy had leveled up his attack. The enemy had leveled up and to the point where they were like, what's going on? I've never seen all this before. I've never seen them. In Mark, it says that when the man brought his son to him, he fell to the ground. He got to rolling around and spitting and shaking and screaming and scratching. He just started cutting up, acting a plum fool. And this was beyond the other clean spirits that they have endeavored with before. And Jesus told them when they were dealing with these unclean spirits, because they was going out winning victories. We going out in the name of Jesus, and we slaying demons. We slaying them. We just doing this thing. I like to paraphrase, so don't get offended. I hope y'all don't. Don't get offended. But the disciples were like, we're out here, and we doing the thing. We slaying demons in Jesus' name. And Jesus told them, wait a minute. Don't get excited that you're able to command unclean spirits. You should be rejoicing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you got salvation. So don't get it twisted. It's not that you're doing this. You're doing this in the name of Jesus. It's not that you out there slaying demons. You're doing this because my name goes before you. I have given you authority. I have given you power. I have made the rough places smooth and the crooked places straight. I am doing a new thing in you. So humble yourself and be grateful that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you got access to glory after this. Amen? And I believe that as men and women of God, and as we are used by God to do great and mighty things, because he said after the preached word, great and mighty miracles shall follow. So I believe that after we are experiencing these mighty moves of God, when we can see where God's hand has gone before us, have you ever experienced God's glory after you've been in a worship service and you don't want to leave? You don't want to leave this place. I never want to leave your presence, God. I feel your presence here and I want to stay. You ever had those experiences? I know you can't interact with me, but I'm assuming some of y'all are raising your hand and nodding your head saying, yeah, right after you have those experiences, as soon as you come down, guess who's waiting on you?
Yeah.
Guess who's waiting on you? It's the enemy. And he is trying to uproot those seeds that was planted because he's about his resume to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's trying to steal that little bit of joy that you had. He's trying to kill that seed that God has placed in your heart that would eventually produce fruit in your life. He's trying to destroy the destiny that God has put you on, that put you on a path to get to. The enemy is trying to uproot all that. So immediately after you come down from one of those highs, immediately after you preach the word of God, now he's going to want to try you in that very area. Immediately after you have experienced time in worship and in prayer, and you have seen where your prayers have been answered, now you get a negative report based on, but you were praying for something else to happen. Somebody. He tries to immediately uproot that seed that God has planted during that experience with him. He tries to immediately rob you from that which God has given you. He knows that God has just blessed you and you are excited about that. But immediately the enemy is standing there ready to uproot it. And I believe that's what happened to these disciples when they were going off of that great, well, we've done this before. We've done this before. We can handle this. But this one required a little bit more. And when they saw it, I believe their faith was shook. I believe when they saw the way the demon was doing to this boy's body, they'd never seen it before. Anybody ever seen The Exorcist where the body was being levitated off the ground and they spitting up and doing all this stuff? They were doing extra. This enemy was doing extra to this baby's body. And here now these disciples are like, whoa, wait a minute. I ain't ready for that. Whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. As I would say, you're taking me too fast. You're taking me too fast. So here, I believe their faith was shook. So this reminds us that we can't forget who our enemy is. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he walks around. It tells us to be sober and be vigilant, be alert. But the adversarial devil, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm also reminded in Isaiah 54:17, where the Bible tells us no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. He didn't say that the weapons wouldn't be formed. So they're going to be formed. They're going to be in position, and they might even try to use them, but they won't. They won't prosper, meaning that they will not fulfill the assignment that the blacksmith set it for. But the Bible says in Isaiah 54:16 that he created the blacksmith. He created the fire and the coals that the blacksmith used to create the weapons. God is in control from the design all the way to the execution. But he told us that it will not prosper. Not only will the weapon not prosper, but those that are speaking ill against you. I don't care what they say. Every tongue that rises against us in judgment shall be condemned. Why? Because this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So this is why, this is what we got to hold fast to when we're facing those impossibilities. We had faith for the small things, but now we're facing a mountain. We had faith for the little hills and the little cracks, but now we're facing a mountain. Now we're facing a mountain, and these disciples had faith to deal with those little demons, but now they're dealing with a big daddy. Now they're dealing with one that they've never seen cut up like this in a physical body. And it challenged their faith. It diminished their faith. It destroyed their faith. They actually got scared. So Jesus comes. Now we're here to the scripture. Well, we're getting ready to get to my targeted scripture to give you all the background. Now Jesus is getting ready to cast out this demon. They are back from the mountain of transfiguration. And as soon as he comes down amongst the crowd, the dad brings the boy back. This time the boy did the same thing, got on the ground, got to wobbling all around in front of Jesus. And the dad said, I brought my boy to your disciples, but they couldn't help me. They couldn't help me, and I don't understand what's going on, but they couldn't help me. So I'm bringing them to you because I know that you can help me. And what we have to understand that the lack of faith in God displeases him, and it displaces us from our breakthrough. I hope y'all caught that. I hope y'all caught that. Your lack of faith displeases God. Your lack of faith in God displeases him, and it displaces us from our breakthrough. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that God is who he is, that God is my everything, that God is Jehovah Jireh, that he is El Shaddai, the four-breasted one. He is El Elyon, the Most High God. I got to believe that he is the creator of all things, and without him, nothing was created, that he can speak a word and cause anything to see. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be made whole. Even to come in the crowd meant death to her. To come in the crowd, because she was a woman with an issue of blood, to come into the crowd meant automatic death for her. So she was willing to risk her life, because if I can just touch, come on somebody, his garment, I will be made whole. She didn't have any fear. She didn't have any fear. She had faith, and that released her breakthrough. So faith is a firm belief, a compliance with, and a confidence in the all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present God. It's a firm belief. I believe God. That's it. For whatever the situation is, you add it. But I believe God. For whatever it is, you add it. Whatever your mountain is, you've added. I believe God for resources, because I needed to pay my rent. I believe God for healing in my body. And even if he don't do it, he is still God. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee, in the name of Jesus. God is. So before Jesus could even begin to address the man, and even began to make the demon become subject to his authority, he first had to rebuke the lack of faith amongst the people. He first had to rebuke them. He called them perverse. O ye faithless and perverse generation. Perverse means to distort, to turn, to oppose, to plot against, to plot against the saving purpose and plans of God. So if you don't have faith, you have fear. It's one or the other. If you don't have faith, you have fear. And when fear corrupts faith, they cannot occupy the same spaces. So Jesus had to first deal with their lack of faith and then called them out. Called them out about it. And right after that, he said, bring the boy to me. He said, bring the boy to me. Another commentary said that faith is compliance with God. Unbelief is opposition and contradiction to God. So when we have faith, we have compliance with God. I believe God. You got to have faith in something. I had faith that when I dialed this number, that it was going to connect me to Blog Talk Radio. I had faith that when I got on Zoom, I would be able to be present in this meeting. I had faith that it was going to work. I complied because I pushed the button. I hope somebody getting this. I hope somebody getting this. I pushed the button. I didn't operate in fear like, oh, what if it doesn't connect? What if my phone dies? What if this? What if that? No, the devil is a liar, because then that will take me off the purpose of what I'm supposed to serve, because I'm so concerned and got fear that I'm not even going to make my connection. If your faith is like turning on the light in a dark room, you got the power to hit the switch. But you walk in a dark room and you just standing there, ooh, it's dark in here. And the longer you standing there, now you starting to hear things. Now you starting to feel things. Ooh, what was that a brush up against my neck? Ooh, what is that? Ooh, I can't see. I'm trying to make it out. All you got to do is reach over there and hit the switch. Once you hit the switch, the faith, your faith is not the switch. The faith, what works is the power behind the switch that turned the light on, the electricity that's released to turn the light on. That's what our faith does. Our faith allows God's hand to move and begin to bring us our breakthrough, bring us what it is that he has, the plans and the purposes he has for us, the thoughts of good and not of evil to bring us to a hope in the future, the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and added no sorrow to it. But we got to have faith to connect it. Faith releases it. Faith opens the door for it. Come on, somebody. Why are you sitting in the dark when you could just flip the switch? Why are you worrying at night? You can't can't even go to sleep and your stomach is in knots and you got headaches and they causing stress and stress is revealing itself in your body in so many different ways when all you got to do is turn on the switch. All you got to do is trust and believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Fear produces unbelief. Matthew 13:58 says, and he did not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. They didn't believe in who God was. They didn't believe in who Jesus was. And because of that, they tied his hands. They tied his hands. So like I said, Jesus rebuked the people. He called them a faithless and perverse generation in Matthew 17:17. This was not spoken. Let me just make this clear. This was not spoken to the disciples. This was spoken to the people because when we get to the targeted verse, that's when he spoke to the disciples. But these people were around and they was watching and they had the naysayers and he had to deal with the atmosphere to make it conducive for him to move. So as I get ready to close tonight, and I zero in on our, for truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I want to call out 3 points that we got to do to exercise mustard-sized faith. Mustard-sized faith. 3 things that we got to do to exercise that. Jesus set the atmosphere for faith to be released. The hearts of the people were perverse. We saw that in verse 17 where Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. They were faithless and they were perverse in sin. Sin stinks to God's nostrils. So I think before you can operate in mustard seed faith, you must check your heart. You must ask God for forgiveness for wherever doubt may have creeped in, where forever fear may have creeped in, where you have entertained the thoughts of the enemy and thought the worst is the only settlement for you. You got to go and repent of those things. You got to go and ask God to forgive you, to check your heart so that faith can be released. You got to remind yourself that I got to have faith just like that woman with the issue of blood. I have to have faith to know that God is going to do it. He is going to bring his will to pass in my life, for my life. So the first thing you got to do is check your heart. The second thing you got to do is move quickly. Move quickly. Faith requires work. For the Bible says faith without works is dead. Faith requires work. It requires you to move. You can't be stagnant. If God gave you an assignment, you have to move. You have to do it. You have to do it quickly because immediately after Jesus said, you faithless and perverse generation, he said, bring me the boy. Bring me the boy. He didn't waste time, and immediately he cast the demon out. Immediately, there was no fear. He spoke a word and commanded it to be so, and it happened just like that. He didn't waste no time. He moved just like that. So number two is you got to move quickly. You got to check your heart, making sure it's right before God, before you make your request made known, and then you got to move quickly. You got to do exactly what he told you to do so that it will happen, that it will come to pass. Whatever you're facing, it cannot supersede what he has to say. Come on, somebody. Told his disciples in Matthew 20 that they needed to have faith the size of a mustard seed. I want to share with you, and I want to call this out, that he's not talking about the size of the faith, but it's what your faith is in. I believe he used the mustard seed because in those biblical days, the main currency was agricultural. And have you ever seen a mustard seed faith? About 4 of them could fit up under your pinky nail. They are really small. But mustard seeds produce the biggest leaves. Anybody seen mustard greens? Mustard seeds produce the biggest greens. That small seed made that big old produce. So what he's saying here is not so much as You got to have this small amount of faith, but what your faith is in. That's why Hebrews is so strong to me, that we must believe that he is God, comma, and is a conjunction. It brings two thoughts together. You must believe that he is God first, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this small amount of faith, this mustard seed faith, they can accomplish great things. It can only accomplish great things when you put it in the master plan, when you believe in who God is. Little faith can accomplish great things, but great faith can accomplish great things. So here, it's not what matters so much. It's how much faith, but it's the object of your faith. What are you connecting your faith to? That's like I said about cutting that light on. You in the room in the dark. If you cut the switch on, light will come. Light will come. But if you got to have faith to believe that when I click that switch, it's going to happen. I don't see the electrical current going through, but I know that that light is going to come on. I don't know why when I push the power button, what goes on in my computer, but I know my sign-in screen is going to show up. That's just how simple we must have it with our faith. Amen? Amen. Where am I? I think I'm near the end. Faith necessitates that we believe in who Jesus is and the power that he has given his disciples in his name. The same thing for us. Faith necessitates that we believe in who Jesus is and the power that he has given us in his name. Mark 16 and 20 in the NLT says, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said with many miraculous signs. Confirming what they said. An act of faith can remove mountains. Not by itself, but faith activates the hand of God to release his power over the situation, causing the obstacles to be moved. I hope y'all got that. Faith activates the hand of God to release his power over the situation, causing obstacles to be moved. So as I close tonight, I leave you with these few questions. Is your faith in a mountain uprooter? Do you have the belief in God that whatever he said he would do, it will come to pass? What situation are you facing that you need faith and the power of God to answer? Trust him and watch him work it out. Thank you so much. You're on mute. I see you talking, but we don't hear you.
Okay, there's actually someone in your car is beeping, and we hear your car door. If you could please place your device on mute, we would greatly appreciate that. Now this is the time for if anyone has anything that they would like to add or any questions for our speaker of the hour, who came with a very good, profound message and gave us plenty of thought on the word. Is there one at this time? All mics are
open. Yes, I would like to say something, Sean Wilbur, not the Prince of West Virginia. That message was fire. I've been trying to start me a food truck business, and every time the time gets hard with the paperwork, I start seeing it as being impossible and dragging my feet. Your message made me think I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So yes, that message was fire for me. Thank you.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen. I just want to say, one, I really enjoyed the message. And to the young man that was just on, remember, faith is what you perceive. faith is what you came to. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You want to start a food truck? Start getting the stuff together. Start getting things in order. I told God I wanted another car, not a new car. I wanted a second car. So I started cleaning out my garage. I started making space, and I believe that within the next week or so, I'm getting ready to go get my new car. See, you got to, just like the woman of God said, you have to activate faith. You got to cut it on. And
right.
you want a food truck, then start getting the stuff that you need. Yes, it might be kind of hard, but God will show you which way to go. All you got to do is ask him, Lord, order my footsteps. The footsteps of a good man are ordered by you. I truly appreciate it. Enjoyed the message. Pastor Beasley, this was truly a dynamic message, and I just want to say I really enjoyed it.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your words of encouragement. Amen.
I heard you on, we had someone on the Zoom who actually did some speaking, so I don't know if you all heard it. She did speak on the Zoom. Once again, there's someone in their car, and they have their blinkers going. If you could please press your device on mute, you're really taking away from the broadcast. Is there another? All mics are open. All lines are open.
We did not hear what they were saying on Zoom.
We didn't hear you on Zoom. The technician stepped away from the podium, from the board. But if you could call in on the line, call in on the phone line, and then we still have time left. While she's calling back in on the line, is there another? Well, I would like to say I got some good nuggets, especially about taking a stance. And one thing that you said that I really liked about was do not take a defeated stance, because the way you stand from the beginning will actually determine the fight that you're bringing to the table. Don't take a defeated stance from the beginning, because you did, you already defeated. And then you put that up with be firm. And I took that into consideration of being strong where you at, being strong in your spot. Being strong in your spot, and then knowing that God got you back, and he's going to lead you. And also about the faith, he says, faith without works is dead. But then what you need to do is to show your faith by your works.
Yeah.
You have to show your faith by your works. You can't say, yeah, I'm believing God for a job, but you ain't looking for one.
Right.
You have to show your faith by your works. See, but the preacher has already preached. And we're waiting on the other young lady to come back so to hear her comments and her testimony. But is there another? That's what I've got out of it.
Amen. To God be the glory. You got me over here getting all. Woo! Yes, Lord. Are you looking for a job? You ain't submitted nair an application. As my granny would say, nair an application. But you looking for a job. And now the way they do it now, it's all on the internet. Okay. Well, if it's all on the internet, I'd be putting the same application in 16 times so that mine would rise to the top. Doing something every day, because I got to put some work in the game, got to put some skin in the game. Come on, somebody. Yes, sir.
You are 100% right with that, and you got to put some seed in the ground. You don't plant any seed in the ground, how do you expect to get a harvest? A question, is there another? Because this was a great and profound word on today to help anyone get started, as the old folks had put some fire up on you. A I wonder if the other young lady back on from the Zoom. What else do you feel that they should add to this message that we have received? You know, and there's another thing about paraphrasing scripture. You said that you like to paraphrase and you don't like, if you hope that people don't like it. Well, you paraphrase scripture, you put it to where people can understand it.
Yep.
And I really want to applaud you on such a good word that you let the Lord and the Spirit use you. You let the Lord use you, let the Spirit use you. And that's all we can do is we move out the way and let him come in the way, come inside of us, come and lead the way, and come and surround us. And that is what you have done on tonight. Every time you come on, we appreciate you always bring a good word. And speaking for the Clays, wish that they were here. But as we know, they're on assignment, as I told you earlier. And yeah. We had sound check and things of that nature. So I'm pretty sure that when they come back off assignment, they will listen to this. And know that this is a great message. Now, once again, if you happen to miss any portion of this message, after the broadcast, well, about 30 minutes or so, you would be able to play this back again in the archives. But you go on Blog Talk Radio, click the link, click We Can Begin Again or New Beginners Ministry, and you'll be able to hear this message again. Is there a... We can hear you on Zoom, but we cannot hear you over the phone.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with it, but I just want to say, I just pray to the Lord that we're seeing that I've been through a lot of sickness. My sister, and that was a message of encouragement. The message that really reminds me of praise God. You know, when the grips of depression or sadness come forth, that I'm going to keep praising the Lord until that grip is gone. To that sadness gone, to whatever situation we come through. And when you're talking about faith, I was thinking about how people always talk about, they say miracles happen every day. And people say that a lot. But one thing that I learned, yeah, miracles happen because people have faith. Not faith in miracles, but we have faith in God. So I just praise the Lord that, you know, it was an awesome message. I'm going to go back and listen to it again. And I appreciate you, and thank you, Pastor Miles, for, you know, working with me through this, whatever's going on with my phone system. So praise the Lord. I look forward to this Bible study. Amen.
Amen. And we thank you for being persistent and making sure that others hear your testimony.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
And hear what you have to say. And I'm going to hand it back on over to the speaker of the hour, to our own sister, Elder Beasley, to final comments, words, and then I'm going to ask that you close us out in prayer.
Amen. Well, I thank God again for everything that we have experienced on tonight. I'm thankful to God that he gets the glory, that his sons and daughters are encouraged on tonight to keep pressing forward, to remember that they got to have their faith in him. You got to believe that God is. And whatever is after that, he got it. Amen. So, Father, I thank you this evening for this time that we have shared together. Father, we thank you because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And you have begun a good work within us and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord God, for each assignment, for each purpose, for each test, for each obstacle, because we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we understand that the good does not mean that it's going to be a bed of roses and milk and honey, but it means that it's going to perform your purpose in our lives. So we thank you for every obstacle. We thank you for every situation. We thank you because we believe God. No matter what it says, no matter what the situation, no matter what we face, we believe God. So we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And we thank you, Lord God, because you are greater than any situation that we face. So, Father, as we prepare to leave this place but never your presence, keep us
remind us of who you are in our lives and give us the blessed assurance to know that everything will be all right. So we thank you, Lord God, for what's to come. It's better than what's to be in. And we receive it now in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you and claim it done. Amen. And it is so.
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you for tuning in to New Beginnings Ministry. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. God bless.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
I love that song.